Welcome Kathy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area.
Wow. I'm an addict, Kathy. And Philly is in the house. Convention. So, wow, I am, you know, I thought I was going to be nervous. I've been nothing but nervous. I've never done this before, and I've, like, talked to everybody and asked people, and everybody's given me different suggestions, imagining people naked, and look at the sickest person in the room. But you know what? I'm standing here, and all I feel is like this energy, this vibe, this passion that I feel for this program. And this topic, there's so many levels of it, living in this solution for me. So let me tell you this. In order for there for me, at least for me, for there to be living in the solution, to be a solution, there had to be a problem. And for the longest time, I didn't have a problem. Or so I thought. So, I had, you know, there were easy solutions, like when I was little, when I wanted attention. That was my problem, how to get attention. I would act out, you know, either positively. Sometimes I would do good things to get attention, and a lot of times I would do bad things to get attention because all I wanted was attention. I still want attention. I wanted love. And as I got older, when the problem was there was a guy I liked, that was the problem. The solution was, well, I know what to do to get this guy. And that was my solution. I mean, there are those kinds of solutions to me. But today, the problem, I mean, if I want to break it down, my problem is me. My problem is right here. My problem is a disease of behaviors. Right? The drugs, one way I can act out on it. But the disease of addiction is all about self-centeredness for me. And the solution, I mean, I could stop right here. The solution is the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, the fellowship, everybody in here, my higher power. But I get a better understanding as I've been around that on any given day, at any given moment, that disease is coming at me in all different ways. And I can either choose to stay in a problem or I can choose to live in the solution. And I have the tools. The tools are all there, you know? I started using, I never used for fun. I'll tell you what, the only time I used for fun was when I was going to Grateful Dead concerts and tripping. That was the only time I was using to have fun. I wasn't using to stop the way I was feeling. Because when I started using at 11 years old, like a lot of us, for me, it started with pot, you know, and it was because my parents were getting separated. And my dad was leaving, and my dad was the center of my world at the time. And I was sure that he was leaving because of me, that I had done something wrong. And pot, weed, back then we called it dope, and I found out later that took me to a whole nother drug, which we'll talk about later. But I never used, like I said, I used because I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. I either didn't want to feel the pain that I was feeling, or I wanted to fit in, and I didn't fit in wherever I was. I grew up in an upper middle class family with all the advantages, good schools, everything I wanted, anything I needed, except when you looked behind the doors, was a fucked up family. My dad constantly cheated on my mom. My sister was constantly getting arrested, my older sister. I mean, there was so much, but you know what? They didn't discuss that kind of stuff in the world that I lived in. You didn't discuss, you know, those things were whispered behind doors. And my sister was the one who acted out. Like, she would act right out in front. She'd, like, walk right up to my dad and say, "Fuck you, Dad," you know. I was the deceptive, manipulative, good girl who would say, "Whatever you say, uh-huh, whatever you say," and then I'd go sneak out the back door and I'd go do what I needed to do. But really, I went to school, to a private girls' school, and I tell you this because for the longest time, I separated. When I first came into these rooms, all of that education and money and society, that separated me from you. You know, I wasn't an addict. I was not, but I was. I was not the person, I was not the mother who would leave her child at home and go cop or take her child up to 5th and Tioga at 2:30 in the morning to cop. But at the end of my using, I was. I had become that person. I had lost everything. I'd lost me a long time before that. But everything I did, all my using, was so that I didn't have to hate myself. So I didn't have to think about those problems, life problems. You know, talk about living in the solution. The fact is, life on life's terms, they're not problems, it's just life. I'm using the word problem and I go back to a definition, you know, of what a problem is, or like a math problem. You know, you sit there and you figure it out. But it's just life. And for me today, God almighty, I just, you know, I'm just sitting here and I'm just looking and I'm just overwhelmed because I love this. I was that woman who was taking my daughter at 2.5 years old at 2:30 in the morning to a place where, if you've been to North Philly, to 5th and Tioga, to 9th and Indiana, and I can give you every corner where you can get cop every drug, because I knew which corner I got what I needed. By the way, that's how I got to heroin, because I had thought I was asking for weed when I said dope. And apparently, a few decades had gone by. I forgot how old I was. Back in the 60s and the 70s, dope was pot, you know? I mean, that's what it was. And when he came back and brought me, oh, and that was the other thing. That was, you know, trusting, here, take my $20, and I'll wait right here. You'll be back, right? Sometimes it worked, and a lot of times it didn't. I was sitting there an hour later still wondering what the hell happened to my money and where the hell were my drugs. And he brought back, and I'm like, this is not, there's, and the problem, that was a problem. You know, this is not what I asked for. No, you asked for dope. I was like, what is it? Well, it's heroin. I was like, oh, okay. I'll try that. That was my solution. Right? And you know what? And that was for the longest time what I did. Even when I knew I had a problem, when I had been put into the hospital for 10 days with an IV up my arm because I had snorted away the inside of my nose and I had infected my sinuses to the point where my brain was going to get infected. And I'm on IV antibiotics for a whole week. I still had my dealer coming into the hospital, bringing me drugs. I'm shuffling into the bathroom with an IV in my arm, doing what I needed to do, and then telling the nurse that I'm in all this pain and I needed some morphine. There was my solution. I walked out of the hospital, and it wasn't, damn, I have a problem. Maybe I need to stop. It was, damn, I have a problem. I need to find a different way to put it in me. And that's what I did. And, you know, every time I was gonna do this, but I was never gonna do that. Right? I'll snort a little blow, but I'm never gonna smoke crack. I will go out with a guy, but I will never trick. That was a problem, you know? And my solution was to find the dealers and to hook up with the dealers. I just took the middleman out of the equation. I fucking hated sex, man, especially when I was high. I don't understand people who talk about liking sex when they're high because I hated it. Straight, I hated it high when I was younger. But it was a means to an end for me. I have a very different perspective about sex today, by the way. It's amazing what being clean will do for you. But that's another topic. And that's in another room, so... I can tell you that today. So I got clean. My original clean date was April 3rd, 1997. I had gone through all of those things that I talked to you about. By the time I had gotten to a place where I went to rehab, I had lost job, family, home. I mean, I can tell you all of it. You know, we've lost everything, right? And I had lost custody of my daughter. And, I was told I would get custody back if I went into rehab, and I stayed clean for 6 months. Well, during that time, my now, thank God, ex-husband decides that he's not going to give me custody back, and I had a choice. I had spent 28 days. I had gotten a little clear-headed. And I knew that I was in no position to take care of a baby at the time. So I was okay with that. And I came, I'm from Philly, but I got clean in Baltimore. I went to rehab in Baltimore and I stayed and I lived down here for 3 years. And I grabbed up Narcotics Anonymous and I wrapped it around me. Like a fur coat that I was gonna just protect me from everything. And I got involved in service and I got involved in all of the right things. I did all the right things, but I did it not in here, not in my heart, not in my spirit, not in my soul. I did it in my head. I mean, we're very smart people. I overthink things. I'll overanalyze everything. People tell me I ask too many questions all the time. That original clean date, April 3rd, 1997, is not my clean date today. I relapsed after 10 years. And that was because life had gotten so good from all the blessings I had received from this program that I forgot what got me all those blessings. And slowly but surely, Narcotics Anonymous moved down the ladder of importance. Where, you know, I used to be, it was NA, it was God, it was my daughter. And then it was the rest of this stuff. Well, slowly that shifted, you know. All of a sudden, the money came back, the nice job, the nice car. Was looking okay. Had a new man. Oh, and I'm a little all over the place. Just so you know, the other problem I had was when my daughter was little and I was still using, and I say this to you because I need to be honest about this, she was getting in my way. And I say that to you because she's the most important thing in my life today. But it's really important that I admit that everything, the drugs were my higher power. The drugs had become my higher power. Right? I mean, there was nothing else for me except that. And she was in my way. I make amends to her every day. She's 19 years old now. She is the light of my life. When I first came back, I my new clean date is February 16th, 2008. So I celebrated 5 years. And I say that because in these 5 years, I've learned that the solution is not an outside thing. The solution is inside. It's not about sitting down and just putting pen to paper. It's about feeling what it means to be powerless. Was reading the beginning, you know, from despair comes hope, or from despair, the theme of this year's convention, despair to hope, and it put this into perspective for me. You know, that's what it was. I mean, that's what the problem was, despair. And today I live with hope. The people, the women in my life. My sponsor, my sponsee sisters, my sponsees, men in my life. I got some amazing guy friends today. That's, to me, an amazing thing, that I even have men who are friends. You know, that's a very cool. And then I have women that are friends. All of this, you know what? The solution for me is I could still sit and isolate when life gets where I don't like it, but I don't do it. I run to an NA meeting. I run to pick up the phone today to call someone when something's going on. That's how I handle my problems. I don't handle them alone. The solution is, I mean, I don't know. How many different ways can you say it? The solution is the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. The solution for me is this fellowship. The solution for me is the readings. Every time when I have to, if I can absolutely shut myself down and actually listen, which I have to remember to do sometimes, you know? It gets real easy for me to be fucking texting and Facebooking and, you know, trying to find out who's doing what and who's talking to who. And all of a sudden, I've lost the message. And the next speaker just said something to me very profound. He said, there are no bad speakers. There are only bad listeners. And I hate to take, and I give you credit, Melvin, because, man, that hit me really powerfully. Because I've walked out of here, and you know what? My ego was so in the way. I was so one of those people. I didn't want you all to walk out and go, God, she sucked. Well, because I've done it. I've walked out of meetings, and I've gone, God, that guy or that girl, I didn't hear a thing. And there have been times when I've walked out and I've heard, like, oh, my God, that was the most, I've had a spiritual awakening from this message, you know? That's what I wanted. I wanted y'all to go back. I wanted everybody to go back to Philly and say, you should have heard her. She talked the shit out of it. And I had to realize that was just ego, my ego, you know? And when he said that to me, he was like, did it ever occur to you that maybe that message, that speaker wasn't there for you? Maybe somebody else needed to hear that message. It wasn't for you. Boy, he just flipped that whole thing around for me. I'm telling you, sitting right there, he flipped that whole thing around for me. I thought that was like the coolest thing I'd ever heard now. I'm going to use it too. I promise I'll always give you credit, Melvin, man. Anyway, I think that my time is about done. Boy, it's amazing how quickly time goes. I thought I would not have anything to say. I don't even know if I said anything that made sense. But I can tell you that today I am passionate. People who know me, I will go anywhere to hear a meeting, to support someone. Someone asks me to be of service, I will do it. For today, I would like to say that I hope that I never, I hope that I can one day stand up here a day at a time and have 14,000, how many days do you have? 14,000 some odd days. Like a man who has 40 years clean. And I respect him so much. And he's a friend of mine. And I'm thinking to myself, how cool is that? That he, you know, somebody like that will like some little nothing like me. You know, and fact is, that's what we do here. You know what? I mean, I love everybody in here, and I don't know all of you. But I do know that you all understand when I share the shit that I share that goes on in my crazy fucking mind all the time, that you can laugh and you understand what I'm talking about. So the solution is for me to come and open my mouth. The solution for me is to be as honest as I possibly can on any given day to the best of my ability, which Some days is better than others. The solution is to always, always believe that there is a power greater than me. And if you don't have a higher power, if you can't see that this right here is a power greater than me, then I don't know what is. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I am truly passionate about this process. And I like the person that I'm becoming today. And I'm really excited to see who she may become tomorrow. So with that, I will say, I'm Kathy. I'm an addict. Thank you for letting me share.
Let's thank Kathy for sharing.